Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that you would continue to keep your hand upon me, that you would make, that you would enlarge your hand upon me because of where you're taking me, because of where you're taking us. So we are so grateful on this morning for just the worship that has went forth. We're grateful for everybody that's joining us in person and online. As always, we just honor the servant that God has placed in this house. We honor our leader and our pastor on this morning. And I'm just so humbled and honored for every opportunity to share the word that I don't take lightly. And I'm just so grateful for what God has placed on our hearts of this morning. Even though we read the scripture, and even though we just declared and sang the scripture, and we just continue to let that declaration reverberate and become a part, may it become a part. My prayer is that after this word, that this declaration, that this prayer, that this scripture becomes part of your daily confession, that becomes part of the confession of the rest of your life. And on this morning, I'm going to just read it one more time as before we get into the word of the Lord on this morning. And this is coming from, once again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Once again, that is 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. I'll be reading from the New International Version, but you can follow along on any version that you may have. And the word of the Lord once again reads this: Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. The word of the Lord is blessed. Join me in a word of prayer on this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this morning, humbly as you know how, just asking for you to continue to be with us. We have worshiped you with song, and now as we prepare to worship you with the reading and the hearing and the declaration of your word, as we sing back, as we speak back, as we declare back unto you these words that you have left behind, these examples you have left behind of faith for us to live by, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as this word goes forth, as the prayer and the song has already went forth, that anybody that needs any of these things mentioned in the scripture and all of the above, that it will be just like that in the scripture, that you will grant them their heart's desire, not according to their will, but according to your will in the name of Jesus. God, as your servant on this morning, I pray that you just allow me to release the adoption papers on this morning, oh God, and remind people that they belong to you and that they can have better, they can have bigger. And we're not just talking about natural things, but we're talking about spiritually, that they can live in joy, they can live in peace, they can live in salvation, oh God. So Lord, use me as your mouthpiece on this morning to declare your love, to declare your joy, to declare your peace on your people on this morning. So have your way through your servant. And we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the next few moments that are allotted to me, I want to come from the subject, give God his pen back. Turn to somebody or write in the comments and tell them, give God his pen back. The power, I just love the power and the significance of a name. When you look at a name, whether it's for an individual or a group of things, a group of concepts, a group of animals, a group of institutions, when you hear that name, you automatically know what that thing or that person or what that creature, that animal is about. We see this, of course, in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of time, where God gave Adam the authority to name everything, to name the types of plants, the animals of the air and the animals of the land and the animals of the sea. He gave them the power. He gave them the power to name them. And whatever that name was, somehow we still call it that name till this day, even though it's been translated in so many different names. When we hear a certain animal, we know what that animal is. We know its characteristics. We know the type of fur it has. We know the color it has. We know what type of food it likes. But that's just what a name holds. And of course, when you get to human names, there are different reasons why we're named what we are. Some names, of course, have meaning. You know, I've always been big about my name. I remember when I was younger, and of course, I found out that my name is one of the many English translations of the name of Jesus. It's that same name that they use for the Messiah, which back in the day, they, you know, one of the rough translations, of course, is Yeshua and all these other things, basically saying, you know, that the Lord is my salvation. And it was amazing because Jesus was named that. Joshua was named that. And of course, you know, Jesus was used to bring the ultimate salvation to the world. And I've always loved that because once I found it, I was like, oh my God, this makes perfect sense, especially later on when I found out that I was called to be in a setting like this. That's like, oh wow, so I am literally living up to the meaning of my name. My parents didn't know when they flipped through the book or when they decided to name his name, but they didn't even know that when they named me Joshua, that that was prophetic of my destiny, that that began to begin the course of my destiny coming together, that when it was time for me to walk into certain territories, into certain promises, into certain areas of my life, that the name that was already placed on me in the earth that I believe the Holy Spirit set aside for me, that began to make sure that everything came together as I walked out the purpose of my name. Some people, like I said, it's for a meaning or whatever, or they want to have a name for their child that has some significant meaning. Like some other has a special meaning, like I said, like, you know, like salvation, joy, peace, you know, different meanings. Some it's creativity, you know, they might want to combine like maybe two parents' names, grandparents' names, you know, they might want to come up with something unique, you know, just to emphasize creativity or to combine the names of people of their family, you know, especially if there was like a grandparent, an aunt or uncle that really inspired you, that really changed your life. You may name your child after they may give them their, that middle name that represents them. And then, of course, you know, like I said, it's meant for that and it's meant to honor. Sometimes it's meant to honor an individual, whether it's an individual in your family or an individual of influence. And this is why what you name your child is important. As a matter of fact, whatever you allow to come out of your mouth, it's important because you're not just shaping your reality, you are shaping the reality of that person as well. Mm-hmm. And even what I like is sometimes I come across people who have actually changed their names, who actually were able to go to the courthouse and change their names because for several reasons. I know, like, one example, some of the sadder examples is somebody may not like their name because it reminds them of a parent that wasn't there. They were named after a parent that wasn't in their lives, and they're like Junior, the third, the fourth, so on and so forth. They may want to change their name because it's like, every time I hear my name, it reminds me of the void that I had, or every time I hear that name or even that last name of like a family that may not even want anything to do with me, I'd rather change it to something so that I can feel free, so that I can feel independent. And that's one matter. Of course, then there's more positive matters. Of course, when you look at one thing I've always thought was interesting, even when I went to Catholic school for high school, I found out that even in that tradition, that ministry tradition for the Catholic Church, that the Catholic priests, when they go into the priesthood, they actually, by obligation, I don't know who wrote that rule, I don't think it's necessary, but I kind of understand why they do it, but they're told they have to change their name, they have to change their first name to a name of a saint or a priest, you know, that has some influence or some history in the Catholic Church. And when they do that, what they're saying is, whatever this saint, this holy man or woman or God did, I want to kind of embody that, you know. If it's like a saint, like, you know, in the Bible, like, or if it's like someone like Joseph or something like that, it's like, I want to be a man that's able to dream or envision what God is going to do next in the kingdom. I want to be one that's good, you know, like a shepherd, that's like a father, that's like a mentor to those that God entrusts into me with my care. But that's part of the Catholic tradition. And of course, the one of the most common examples of a name change is marriage. And we know, of course, with marriage, when the wife comes with together with the husband, the wife automatically, more times than not, changes or hyphenates their name. And I actually like that. The Lord just dropped on me now. I actually like when the name is hyphen, because it's like, it's not getting rid of the name that you had, but that person, or when that person, when the wife allows the name to be hyphenated, it's like that name is proudly, boldly being attached to the name that they had before. And I love that when you look at all these different scenarios of name changes that God did the same. There were many times in scripture where God changed names or slightly altered names to reflect what he was doing in their lives. One of my favorite examples, of course, is Abraham and Sarah. You know, when he changed their names to declare what he was doing in their lives to kind of mark a new season, saying, yes, you were called Abram and Sarai in your past season, in your past culture, amongst your past friends and family, but where you're going and for the many people that's going to honor you for generations to come, I'm giving you a new name, and I'm going to make that new name great so that all the years before with the old name, the old traditions, the old mindset doesn't affect your reputation, that they're only going to focus on what you did with the name that I gave you. And I believe in the spirit, God wants to change some names this morning, even if you don't go and change your actual name, but in the spirit, that God is doing some name changes, some name identity swaps. And what I mean is, he's not actually giving you a new name. We say it's new, but the truth of the matter is, the name, the identity, the revelation of what we're called to do, that's new to us, but it's not new to God. So when we receive these name changes in the spirit, it's actually a reality. It's actually what we were always meant to be. Because when we get wrapped up in this flesh, all of a sudden, we start to somehow detached from, because we're born into sin and shaped in iniquity, we kind of get detached, you know, to the traditions, the generational curses, the traumas, the pain, the sorrow begins to detach us from what God meant. And then that's why we get reintroduced to the Lord on our journey, so that we can come back to that original name that he has prepared for us. And sometimes what I love is that God will even allow yourself through his spirit, you know, to give yourself a new name or a nickname that disables the labels that was placed on you. Because we know, as we see here in the text, one thing I love is that Jabez, even though he doesn't have a whole book, he doesn't even have a whole chapter, Jabez only has two verses in the entire Bible, to our knowledge. It's only these two verses in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 through 10. However, it's almost like those, when I read these verses and when I listen to this song all the time for the last 2 years, it's like it's a whole book. It's a whole autobiography. It says so much while saying so little. And like I said, we don't know that much about Jabez. You don't even know how old he was. All we know is that we can see, sadly, that his mother named him something that she probably should have never named him. It says how she named him Jabez because it means I gave birth to him in pain. So in other words, his name is pain. Basically, it's almost like every time she called him, or maybe whenever he did something wrong, it's almost like basically telling him all the time, you're a burden to me. You're a pain in my neck. Sometimes you put me through so much hell, you know, when you was born, or you're still putting me through hell now. Sometimes I wonder what it would be like if you wasn't here, you know, because these are some of the things that are sadly said in all of our households, amongst friendships, amongst marriages, amongst families. And it's a very, very painful, traumatic cycle, because I know they tried to tell you in school that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. I'm a personal witness. That is a true lie from the enemy. So one thing I learned is sometimes back in the day, I'm like, Lord, I kind of wish those bullies actually hit me, because those bruises would have been temporary, but some of the words that they said, that took years to heal from. That took years to break free from those stigmas. That took years to break free from those lies. The bruises would have been gone, but some of the whispers would still be in my head. So that's the truth, that those word curses can really mess you up. And sadly, what I learned is even the enemy gets a hold of those word curses that, you know, people place on you. He's not ignorant, because, as I said, it's so important when you're careful, when you open up your mouth, when you say certain declarations, where even when you're angry at somebody, whether they did something intentionally or unintentionally, like, no child plans to put their mother through pain. That's just the natural cycle that the Lord has ordered for birth. She should have took a minute. And I wonder even if she had a name prior, but because she was so caught up in that moment, she made one of the greatest mistakes ever by literally negatively prophesying. She didn't even know it. It was basically witchcraft. She literally cursed her son by calling him something that God never intended for him to be called. But like I said before, I'm so grateful that even when you have found yourself in a name and an identity and a statistic that you don't belong in, God still desires to hyphenate his name with yours in every situation that was attached to it.
Wow.
Like I said, it's just mind-boggling how I just got so much from just these two small verses, because you can feel just the intensity of Jabez's prayer. Like I said, we don't know how old he is. All we know is that clearly between the time his mom named him Jabez and by the time he got to this prayer, that he had all, you clearly can tell, you can feel that he has probably went through quite a bit of pain, like his name was. He probably went through rejection, probably went through suffering, isolation, you know, feeling like he was the black sheep of the family, trying to find his place. You know, he didn't fit in with his flesh and blood. He tried to find family amongst the community. He didn't fit in there. He probably tried to find community in the church, the temple back in the day, and probably couldn't find anything there. And it seemed like everywhere he went, he was surrounded by pain. He was surrounded by suffering. He was surrounded by isolation and loneliness. And I said, like I said before, there's probably a possibility that his mom probably brought up, but that there was times that if his mom got angry at him, she would bring that up and saying, you know, what you did to me when I was born, you know, when I gave birth to you. And it just breaks my heart that clearly Jake, this prayer came from his heart. This was a built-up prayer. Even I'm sure the prayer was much longer than this, and I'm sure this prayer was prayed often, but clearly this was a built-up prayer, not just something he said, oh, I'm going to write this, and it's going to be in the Bible one day. He's like, no, this came from my heart because I've been going through for so long, and I'm trying to find the root, but clearly after spending some time with God, he was able to get to the root of what has been causing all this pain, and he realized that it was coming from his name. And I'm grateful that, you know, even though he realized that his name was a curse or sometimes could be used as an insult, I'm so grateful that he somehow during the course of his life, between his birth and however how old he is, when he starts this prayer, we know that he messed around and got to know God for himself. That he didn't just, he got to a point where he said, you know what? I'm not going to worship, because sometimes we do that. Sometimes we subconsciously worship how people view us. Sometimes we subconsciously worship pleasing our parents, pleasing our grandparents, pleasing somebody that we want to be. I mean, let's just be transparent. We talked about it many times before. Sometimes previously in ministry, in the journey in the kingdom, trying to please or what's the nice word? Overwhelming loyalty. That's the nice word, because you know the hood got some other words to that. Overwhelming loyalty to a leader. That's a nice way to put it. To get, not necessarily to get what you want, but because you know what your calling is, you know what your desire for the kingdom is, and you just want to prove and show, you know, that I know what God's trying to do. I'm worthy. I'm equipped, but there comes a time where God is saying, I did not say you have to do all of that to do your purpose. I didn't say that you had to. If you don't bring, you know, if you don't take care of my dry feet, if you don't drive me from point A to C, if you don't answer the phone because I need you like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, to drive me somewhere when I could drive myself, and you yelling at me and cussing me out because you needed your water or your iPad or your Bible in 10 seconds and I brought it in 15. And talk about you brought it too late so the enemy could attack me. And I mean, just a side note, too many people get so deep and spiritual and so high and mighty that they feel like they're so great and special. But I'm like, you can do it yourself, because there's no reason to have that much power over somebody and you're going to feel like, oh, I can just designate all these unnecessary responsibilities. Because I'm not saying the armor bearing is a very real job, but let it be a real job. Stop with all the antics so you can get to the true authentic purpose of armor bearing, of covering your leader. Not supposed to be loving your leader, praying for your leader. They shouldn't feel like they have to dumb themselves out. Yes, humility, but they should have to feel like a slave or a dog in their presence. All right, that wasn't my message for today. But I'm saying, you know, that overwhelming loyalty, you know, and sometimes you still get hurt. Yeah, I know we don't get in trouble today. Yeah, some people are going to be overwhelming loyalty because they want to please it. But if somebody has already labeled you a burden in their heart, they've labeled you a nuisance, a burden, a black sheep, sometimes you can't change that, and it's okay if you can't change that, but just because someone's name, someone in your life who you've been trying to get to change how they look at you for years, I don't say give up on them, but I'll say you got to give up on trying to change how they view you and realize even if they view you like that to their very last breath, that does not mean that's how God views you. And this is why I had the title of the message, Give God His Pen Back, because you have been allowing the wrong people to write your destiny. You have been allowing that bully from middle school, high school, make you feel like you're whatever words they called you, that you're still that to this day. But it's time to give God His pen back. You might have made a mistake. You might have done a public sin or private sin that people knew about, and they're still labeling that, but that doesn't matter to God. Give God His pen back. Somebody may have tried to make you tell you your lessons. Like, okay, yes, you may be called to this, you know, you may be called to ministry, but I don't think you're that called. You might be this, but I don't think you're that. I need you to stay home. I need you to stay low. But honestly, my pastor told me callings that I thought were too high for me. So I'm a boldly can say, I'm not going to settle for that anymore. So I gave God his head back, because sometimes we think what we think is humility is sometimes pride. They call it false humility, that sometimes you try to unfold yourself, trying to dumb yourself down to not offend others. That is still actually sinful, because people need that gift. People need that assignment. And yes, people told you it's not you, but yes, it is you. So please give God his head back. And like I said, I just love how Jabez clearly messed around and got to know God for himself. We don't know. Like I said, there's not much to work with other than prayer and asking God, okay, what you do for him during these few messages or these few verses. But like I said, you know, one thing I love, like if you remember my message a few weeks ago, once again, about, yes, study the word, but don't boast about knowing the word cover to cover, because they didn't have a word back then. They were led by the Holy Spirit. But clearly, during his journey of getting to know God for himself, I know back in the day, before they had scrolls, before they had books, the testimonies of what God did was passed down through oral tradition. And of course, during oral tradition, whether it was amongst friends, whether it was amongst some of the priests, whether it was during the temple, we hear that, you know, that God, he must have heard about all the things that God has done from Genesis to First Chronicles. I believe that somehow during his journey, he must have heard about what God did for Abraham when he called him out of his people and said, I'm about to start a brand new work, a brand new tradition, a brand new name and culture with you. And he saw how he heard about how he led Abraham through faith, how him and his wife gave birth to somebody when they were old enough to be their great-grandparents. He probably heard about Moses, you know, when Moses ran for his life after he murdered somebody, and God called a murderer to deliver them from slavery after hundreds and hundreds of years. He must have heard about Joshua, how he had to overcome comparison, how he had to try to live in his own name and not try to be Moses Jr. like the people probably wanted. And he heard about how they walked around Jericho and the walls came doubling down. And I know he definitely heard about David, especially how recent that was. He heard about David, who was a man that nobody wanted to deal with, who felt like he was the least of his family, who was hiding in the corner, you know, serving God in the wilderness. I mean, throws in the backyard, being thrown out there by his father and his brothers. But yet the oil wouldn't come down until Samuel went back there and Samuel showed David what his true name in God was all along. He heard about that. He heard about how David killed Goliath. He heard about how David successfully survived all the attempts on his life from Saul. And when he heard all of these experiences and had begun to develop this knowledge of God, he must have dared to dream of a destiny that was bigger than the disabilities that his name put him through. And he probably said to himself, you know what, God? You did it for these people. These people sound like me. These were people that were alone. These were people that were rejected. These are people that felt like they were the worst of the worst, the least of the least. And look at what you did through them. So, God, I want to believe that you can do it for me, too. I want to believe that even with the circumstances I was born in, with the background that I come from, with the money that I don't have, with the connections that I don't have, with a lot of the suffering and crushing that I find myself in, I still want to actually choose to believe that I can have it too, that I can have that same type of faith. I can have that same type of anointing. I can have what you have set aside, that tailor-made testimony that you have set aside just for me. And then we see, like I said, between his birth and between the time of his prayer, as he began to develop a knowledge of God, There became a point when we get to verse 10 that he made, well, I like to say, he made a Lord's Prayer before there was a Lord's Prayer. And that's why, as a side note, I believe it's important to record your prayers in times of suffering, to record the dreams and the testimonies and the journey that God takes you to, because the prayers and experience that you have with God today will become a manual for generations to come.
Yes, yes.
And what I love is that once he got a knowledge of what God can do and all the powerful things that God has set aside for him, he allowed prayer to become his pen. He allowed prayer to become his pen. And from that moment, he was like, you know what, God? I'm about to rewrite my destiny, but I'm not rewriting it to the way I want it. I want to rewrite it to the way you have set aside for me, because I know it's not about me. It's not about what I want, but I know you want better for me. I know pain was not your destiny for me. Pain might have been the avenue, might have been the valley, it might have been the birth canal, but that is not what you have for me. That is not how you want me to die. That is not how you want me to live and be on my deathbed with regret. I want to choose to believe that joy is my portion. I want to choose to believe that I won't just see the goodness of the Lord when I see his face and he says, well done, but that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living while I still have strength in my body. I want to choose to believe that I am your son, that yes, even though I am my mother's child, I am my father's child, I was your child long before you owned me to them. So I'm going to a source and a parent that's larger, that's stronger than the family and the flesh that I was born into. So I'm going to have a conversation with my father, my first original father, and I'm going to ask him for my inheritance. I'm going to ask him from my portion. I'm going to ask him for my anointing. I'm going to ask him to tell me what is my real name.
What's my real name?
I'm going to ask him what was his original intention for me. That I'm going to ask him because I'm grateful that he knows more about me than I could ever know about myself. I'm so grateful that he knows the plans that he has for me, and that his plans to prosper me and to give me hope for tomorrow. I'm so grateful that he knows the good work that began in me and that shall be performed until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that he knows that you don't have to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm so grateful that he knows all about our struggles, for he will guide us until the day is done. And I'm grateful that there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. He gives hope to the hopeless. He gives joy to those that feel depressed. And that's why I'm so grateful that I can call on my Heavenly Father and find out what my true name is.
Yes.
You do not have to settle for the word curses and the toxic mindsets that your pain and trauma has indoctrinated you into. But you must use your God-given authority, use the blood and the love of Jesus to cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the Lord wants you to take your book of life so that he can sign it, the seal of approval on it. He wants to remind you today that you are enough. No matter who or what you lack, you are enough because he is more than enough for you. The great I am, as I always say, is not intimidated by your insecurities or your inconveniences, because that's just more places that his glory can fill. He wants to change your name to the name that he had for you all along. He gave us a new identity and a whole new DNA when he shed his blood on that cross. And now that blood has become the permanent ink that you that he has used to sign his name over yours. So use your prayer as a pen, for as you worship, he will write. As you weep, he will write. And as you walk by faith and not by sight, he will write. Because he truly is the author and finisher of your faith.
Yes.
And as a prophetic challenge to you, I dare you by faith over the next few days, periodically over the course of your life, make sure that you grab something that has your name on it, your birth certificate, your social security, your marriage certificate, one of your high school or college diplomas, your ministry license or ordination paper, or someone or something of that importance that has your name on it. And I dare you to pray over that thing. I dare you to use it as a point of contact to decree the will of God over your name and existence. And I want you, even now, as practice and as the first prayer, and for the prayer when you get a chance to do this, to say things like this, where you can make an altar with that thing and say things like, God, I just ask right now that you continue to bless my name, that you continue to reveal to me the identity that I have in you, oh God. I pray that you continue to consecrate and sanctify my name, everything that it entails, especially the last name, that God, whatever stigmas, whatever word curses, whatever generational curses are attached to my last name, I'm grateful in the name of Jesus that my last name is hyphenated with your name, so that it cancels out and nullifies every curse, every burden, everything that I was born into. Even if I was ashamed of my name, even if I was ashamed of my past, your name makes me great. My name is great not by its own, but because you attached your name to mine in the name of Jesus. God, I pray against self-hatred and self-rejection that I have birthed over the years because of what people have done to my name, because of what people made me think about my name. I ask that you remove it in the name of Jesus. I ask that you bring restoration to my name and those that share my name. I pray that you bring reconciliation to everyone that shares a strand of DNA in our families in the name of Jesus. I pray that you restore our families, oh God, that you restore even the ones that afflicted us with the pain, that afflicted us with the abuse, that afflicted us with the rejection, that you would allow to be a season of reconciliation, because when you enlarge our territory like you did Joseph, we want to be able to do what Joseph did and want to be able to share the enlargement of our family. We want to be able to share the hope, share the joy, share the prosperity, and share the salvation with those we love in the name of Jesus. So God, may not another year go by that family member or friend that we haven't talked to because of something big or small, oh God. May you break it up. May you break up the ice. May you break up the chains in the name of Jesus and let that conversation be had, oh God, so that we can be restored. Not so that we can be prideful about your right or wrong, but so that you can get the glory and so that they can be saved. I ask that you pray against poverty, oh God, in the name of Jesus, attached to my last name, oh God. Poverty or marriages that don't last, we break that curse in the name of Jesus, oh God. The marriage will last. You will find love. You will believe in love again in the name of Jesus, and you will start a healthy bloodline in the name of Jesus that breaks all the prior curses that they have placed on our name, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So God, we just ask you that you bless this word and bring increase and expansion, oh God. Yes, we would desire natural, but even if not, that you expand us in the spirit, that you increase and expand our capacity in the spirit. That out, if it's not here, oh God, that our prayers will unlock the open doors and the wealth for our children and our grandchildren. But like I said, I pray we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So God, I just ask right now that you just break our names free, that you would whisper our names in the wind, oh God, to the people that can change our lives, not for us, not for boasting, not for to look grand, but so that you can get the glory for the assignment that you have placed on our lives, oh God. Do what you did with Pharaoh, oh God, and place a dream that caused him to call Joseph forth in the name of Jesus. Place us on the minds and hearts of people that can help us advance what you're calling us to do. Place us on the minds and hearts of people that need your salvation, oh God, so that they can come to the strong tower, that they can come to the ark of safety, oh God. But God, we just ask that you breathe and that you blow on our names, oh God, and that you refresh our names, oh God, that we will no longer hate our names, but that when you call us by name, even when you call us by the name that they gave us, oh God, that it doesn't bring up feelings of rejection, of loneliness, of abandonment, of pain, but that when you call us by name, we feel your love, we feel your restoration, we feel your healing, we feel your deliverance. So God, we're grateful for you canceling out the curses that we have carried for so long on this morning. And God, I just pray that this word was a blessing unto your people as we step into a season of a new name and an identity exchange and having literally a new ID card in the spirit, that we no longer have to label ourselves by our pain, but that we will label ourselves by the promise of being your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.